Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, August 19th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Albuquerque, New Mexico. In Diaries today, we got one by Rick with the second part to his Nat riddle explaining why it was possible to use an NTP server behind Nat as an amplifier for a denial of service attack. The problem here was what's sometimes referred to as full cone Nat. Full cone Nat refers to if an internal host connects outbound via UDP, then the firewall actually doesn't bother tracking which host this particular client is connecting to. As a result, all responses coming to the port from which the client traffic originated will be forwarded to that particular client. In the case of NTP, that's port 123. Typically, firewalls implement some kind of timeout for this behavior, but the timeouts can be rather long. In the example that Rick found, the firewall will actually maintain these connections for 10 minutes. Better NAT implementations will not just track the port, but also the IP address. So in this case, the denial of service wouldn't necessarily work unless the attacker would like to send a denial of service attack against an NTP server to which you earlier connected. Not much you can do other than get a different firewall. Of course, mostly cheap home firewalls are affected from this behavior. You can lower that particular timeout. That may help a little bit. And then, of course, try to implement some form of host-based protection where you don't allow inbound connection to this NTP server from anywhere but your internal network. In Rick's case, this was a little bit tricky because the culprit here was a home automation appliance, which doesn't necessarily implement its own firewall, or if it does, doesn't allow for adjustments. And to mix things up a bit, we don't have a major retailer declaring a data breach. Instead, it's a hospital chain. Community Health Systems has announced that it lost 4.5 million patient files from 206 hospitals in 29 states. Now, it looks like actually the data that was exfiltrated did not contain any medical data per se or any credit card data, but instead, for example, social security numbers. The data being stolen here could very well be used for identity thefts, given that name, addresses, birth dates, telephone numbers, and social security numbers of patients were stolen. In an interesting twist, it looks like this attack actually wasn't really geared towards stealing patient data, but more interested in medical devices and some data that's used to run these medical devices. However, the attackers were not successful getting any of that data. And then, according to this article in the Register, it's also interesting to note that the stock of this company actually went up 50 cents to $51.50 this morning. And Kaspersky is reporting that they're seeing an uptick in pro-Syrian malware that's also qualitatively better than some of the malware they have seen in the past. Many of them use standard lures to get users to install software, like, for example, fake antivirus, but then also clickbait, like gruesome videos they're trying to get people to view, and then, of course, get infected by the respective drive-by download that is being made part of that video. We haven't seen much of this firsthand, and most of these attacks are directed at countries in the region. The US comes in at number 9 in Kaspersky's list. Last week, we saw one little attack against the Internet Storm Center website that tried to do some remote file inclusion. Didn't work, and it was a pretty simple sort of PHP backdoor that was attempted to be installed. But the attack itself traced back to an IP address in Syria, so it may be related to some of these attacks. And then today I've seen a couple of viral videos, in particular relating Robin Williams, spread on Facebook using what I think may be a new lure to get people to click and share these videos. When you click on the video, it will then produce a pop-up that will ask you to share this video in order to verify that you are above 18 years old. And then it will actually show you that video. Looks a little bit sort of like clickjacking, but not really, because you actually know that you're clicking on this share link. But of course, the reason you're clicking on that is to do this bogus age verification. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.